Pharaoh, what is wrong? Can it be my daylight clothes or is it just my daylight song? What I do ain't make believe. People say I sit and try, but when it comes to being daylight, it's just me, myself, and I.
Well, thank you for tuning in. This is Matt Santos of the Mile High Show, and we've got a little bit of an abbreviated show for you today. It is an experiment in solo podcasting. Unfortunately, for you, the listeners, you got to listen to me yak on for a little bit here. I will promise you right off the bat that it will not be the length of our regular shows, which run about an hour or so. We're going to be extremely abbreviated today. The reason being is not for lack of effort. Let me start by just giving you a little background about myself. For those of you that don't know me, that haven't known me that long, my vocation is now and has been for over three decades that of a photographer. That is how I pay my bills. That's how I get things done. That's how I survive in all different forms. Photojourn being the primary in recent years. That's kind of how I started decades ago with the foray into some heavy portrait work. Wedding work for a number of years was my main bread and butter. Some studio and commercial work, and basically just a little bit of everything that that a fella can do with a camera, I have done over the years. In the past 10 years or so, that has been split pretty evenly with writing. When people ask me what I do for a living, I tend to tell them as little as possible. Sometimes that's meant as a joke, and sometimes not. I think that that deep down, I am a lazy guy. If you were to ask some of my friends and my family and my wife, they would definitely disagree with you, because I do tend to spend a lot of time at work. That is going to be my downfall eventually, I'm sure. It has, I have come perilously close to losing all that I value and all that I hold dear over the years, because I tend to throw myself into my work, and I know that. I know that's a problem, and it's not anything I'm proud of. And the reason I do that is, I think it's because I'm lazy. I find what I enjoy doing, and photography being that, and I just do it. I do it as much as I can. I feel I'm fairly good at it. I'm passable as a photographer in various aspects, but it kind of comes easy to me. I enjoy it. It's not work to me for the most part. I do suffer some burnout occasionally when things aren't going well, or I'm doing jobs I'm not that fired up about. Periodically that happens. But to be quite honest, I love it. I love photographing people and places and things, people primarily. That's what I enjoy doing. And so it's not really an effort for me to do that. So when I work a lot, when I overbook jobs and I overextend myself behind the camera, it's not for some strong, unfortunately not for a really strong and powerful work ethic. It's because it's either that or I got to go get a real job. And I have been fortunate enough to be able to make a living doing this for a lot of years. So again, deep down, I think I'm just lazy. I found something I'm fairly good at and I enjoy, and that's what I do. So the past couple of weeks, I have been a little overburdened on the photo and writing end, and I haven't been able to pursue the Mile High Show that I'd like to have been doing. I haven't been able to schedule as many interviews and get as many in the bank as I had been in previous weeks. We have posted, previous to this, in 5 months, 24 episodes. We post them every Monday, and I didn't want to lose out on that today, so I'm putting one out there. So I'll let you be warned. You may want to click off right now because it's just me. Again, when people ask what I do, I have a hard time. Sometimes I say photographer, but like I say, a lot of what I do is writing. Also, and I just, when somebody asks, you know, it's hard. I'm not a writer. I'm not a full-time, really, photographer anymore. I'm not a podcaster. I mean, that's not how I make my living, but it's what I do. I also do some terrestrial radio, but I'm far from being a broadcaster. And one of the only things that really fits is journalist or photojournalist, but I feel so pretentious saying that. Well, if somebody asks me, oh, what do you do for a living? Well, I am a journalist. I just feel like punching myself in the face, so I don't do that. So I default back to the as little as possible default answer. So that's what I've been doing, as little as possible, but unfortunately, that little as possible has been taking up quite a bit of time. So what I was able to do in the past couple of weeks was schedule some fairly interesting and some really fun upcoming interviews that I will be doing here locally in the Prescott area, as well as traveling down to the Phoenix area to take care of and possibly out to California. But a lot of that's just legwork, contacting folks, setting up times to meet and locations. But those are all kind of in the future. And like I said, I didn't want to get out of the habit of posting something every Monday. So this is what you're getting today. One of the jobs that I did recently may turn into a future podcast. It was an out-of-state trip that I took with my wife and young son. We traveled from Arizona, our home, to Colorado up through New Mexico for a photo job. It was a wedding of a dear friend of ours. A dear friend of ours, their daughter was married. The daughter's also a friend of ours. But the parents asked us to go out and photograph the wedding for the family, which was enjoyable, but, you know, it was a job. It was work. We spent the bulk of a day driving out. Last week, almost 20 hours in the vehicle, and then worked an abbreviated day on Thursday, a full day on Friday, got a couple loose ends taken care of on Saturday, and then first thing Sunday morning, loaded up the car, drove until we were tired, spent the night in a very, very nice and interesting roadside motel in Las Vegas, New Mexico, north of Santa Fe, and then woke up first thing in the morning and motored the rest of the 9 hours or 8 hours, whatever it was, on home after that. So we basically spent a day and a half working and 3.5 days in the car, pretty much. That's what it felt like anyway. But we may sit down with that new bride and groom. Congratulations to Ashley and Matt Creighton, who are our newlyweds. I would like to sit down with Ashley's parents, Ashley and her new husband, and then one of the sets of grandparents. And we might do we're trying to set it up. We'll see if them hearing this on a podcast motivates them to join me. But we do a three generations. We'll let the newlyweds hear some advice from the old folks. That might be. I was thinking about it while we were out there, and I think that would be an interesting show. We'll see. We'll see how that pans out. The newlyweds will be in Arizona to visit family following their honeymoon shortly, and we'll see if we can't corral them up and get a sit down. Part of my traipsing around tracking down interviews, included one of my regular haunts. We haven't been there in a little bit, but we've been pretty regular over there at Brick and Bones Moonshine Bar in Prescott. And that took place Saturday night as I was wandering around downtown Prescott and trying to figure out some future interviews. I stumbled upstairs. I didn't realize it was the night that DJ Mello B, Bobby Johnson, was hosting and promoting a comedy show at Brick and Bones. They do that every 2 weeks. Upstairs in the loft, and I hadn't seen, like I said, I'd been on the road, I hadn't seen the promos for that, kind of fell into it on accident, and they had a great lineup. I was able to talk to a few of the comics there, and we will be sitting down with them in the future, a few of them. The lineup was excellent. It was a good mix of some newbies to the trade of comedy, to the art of comedic entertainment, who were up there fairly youngsters in the ways of comedy, but there were a couple of folks associated with the show who are seasoned veterans, including the host of the evening, the MC Matt Broom, who had a great set, and just from my very limited interaction with him, he has a pretty interesting backstory. His childhood has some twists and turns to it that he talks about on stage. His time in the military as a U.S. Marine overseas in Iraq. He touches on that in his act a little bit, but I'd like to sit down with Matt Broom and learn more of his story. He is a nationally touring comic. He is based, he's in Phoenix now, but he's originally from, I believe, New York, spent a lot of time in L.A. He's back and forth to Vegas a lot, Vegas, Nevada, and he's fresh off of some time with the TV show Last Comic Standing. So Matt Broom, we're looking forward to sitting down and talking with him. Nick Bean was an interesting young guy, younger comic. He's just starting out. He's been doing it off and on for a couple of years. He's brand new to doing it full time. Very interesting young man, very unique look on race relations and things. But what really set him apart for me last Saturday night was his main mode of transportation is two wheels. He drives a little rice burner, and he was coming up the highway from Phoenix into Prescott for the show and had a bit of a spill. He wiped out. They were all caravanning up. He was following him and the other comics, but he was following that little caravan, and he wiped out. Some of the other comics said he kind of disappeared. They didn't know what happened to him. But fortunately, he was okay. The bike was okay, but he did scrape up his leg a little bit and showed up at Brick and Bones ready to go and just worked that into his act. He pretty much shelved his standard set and just talked about, very funny, about the wreck that he had coming in. For most young comics, something like that would have just had him running back home. But he came on up. He kept going that last leg of the trip and didn't let a pair of ripped pants and a bloody knee deter him from getting his mic time for Mello B, for Bobby Johnson. So that told me a lot about Nick Bean, that he is a professional with the heart of a lion that's going to hopefully help him go far in the world of comedy. Also on the bill was Scottish-born comic Gordon McKay, who he closed out the show, and he took the stage by storm. He was just so full of energy. And not aggressive, but just so much energy, so much personality he was putting into his set, and it was a powerhouse, and he was just hilarious to watch, and didn't shy away from some pretty dark subjects, including his own personal demons, some depression that he faces and how he deals with it. It was a great set. It was nice. Jake Edwards was also on the bill. I got a chance to talk with him for a few minutes, both before and after his set. And great comic, great, just funny. He's been doing this a number of years, touring in around the Phoenix area, getting mic time where he can. But just a real strong set, real strong set. Now, what was interesting, I can't really describe him. He's looked like a kind of a clean cut, all American guy. And I kind of didn't know what to expect when he went up and did his set, but he got dark pretty quick, and he took a turn in a direction that I didn't anticipate just from his appearance, and just finished out so strong with some talk about some humor about his relationship with his daughter. And his young daughter, and it was just it was fun. It was very, very fun to listen to. So I look forward to talking with him. And also about the midway through the bill was Cisco Ortiz, who was a guest here at the Mile High Show just a few weeks ago. He is Prescott raised, Prescott based, with the Mile High Comedy Theater. And he had a really solid set. I enjoyed listening to Cisco. I really enjoyed my talk with him for an episode a few weeks back, and when he was with his co-comedian from the Mile High Comedy Theater, Jenny T, they both sat in with me at the Point Bar and Grill in Prescott, and Cisco just he had a great set. It was fun to watch. So anyway, that was how I spent my Saturday night, was setting up interviews for future shows. And I also got a chance to pop downstairs at Brick and Bones to the patio and saw the Sir Harrison Band. I had never seen, I've seen their name around town. I've seen Harrison's name around. He plays some solo gigs as well as with his band, the three-piece set, just pounding away on some great old R&B and rock. And I've sent them a message. I'm going to try and set up a time to sit down with Harrison, because that was it was just really energetic to watch him play. And then I popped over to the Birdcage, the world famous Birdcage Bar, Birdcage Saloon in Prescott. And I can't remember who was there, but it was kind of a Motown sound band playing at the Birdcage. And when I walked in, on my way out of town to come on back home, Harrison popped up on stage and played a couple of tunes with them. So I had to stick around and watch that. But it was a lot of fun spending time just wandering around downtown Prescott, listening to some great music, hearing some funny comedy, and setting up some future interviews for the Mile High Show. It was a lot of fun. Sunday, I did have the opportunity to sit down, and one of the interviews that we had to bow out of a couple of weeks ago for some scheduling issues, they reached out to me and called me and said, "Hey, we're freed up today, this afternoon. If we can meet up, let's hook up." And I kind of looked at the clock and I told him, "You know what, I don't think today would be a good day," because it was about 1 o'clock, 12:30, 1 o'clock Sunday afternoon, a beautiful, beautiful spring, I don't have a calendar in front of me, spring/summer afternoon in Chino Valley, Arizona, where I live. Very warm out, a nice breeze going through the house. And my wife and my five-year-old son and I were sitting on the couch, and I said, "You know, this is one of those days I'm just going to wave my procrastinator flag proud and sit on the couch, watch some cartoons with my son, go outside and throw some rocks with him." And then we curled up on the couch and took a nap. So that's how I spent my Sunday. And you know what? Doggone it, I earned it. I deserved it. I deserved to slack off for a full afternoon. And then I snuck out. I did have to run an errand for I had to run out to Prescott to take care of something. That way I could I had some appointments today, which is Monday, and I knew I'd had been struggling around, so I waited. After we relaxed for a while, we had a little bite to eat for dinner, and I shot back out to Prescott real quick on my trusty motorcycle, dropped off a couple things I needed to take care of, took care of a few things, and I bumped in to a place that I had never heard of before, and I thought it was a brand new location. I got to talking with the owner, and nope, that place has been there for about 3 years. It's called the Big Easy Bar. It's a New Orleans style feeling bar, little tiny hole in the wall. It's on McCormick, North McCormick Street in Prescott, the Big Easy Bar, and they have a beautiful patio out back. I kind of joked, I put something on Instagram on our Mile High Show. That's Mile High HI Show on Instagram. I took a shot of the guys that were playing. And just walking through the little tiny bar, I says, man, this is, I can't believe I haven't heard these guys play. I can't believe I haven't heard of this bar before. But this is how my house should look. That is what my place should look like. And unfortunately, it doesn't. But the guys that I bumped into that were playing was the Chris Berry and Don Witcher electric duo. And they played some of the baddest music I had heard in a long, long time. And I got to talking with both Chris and Don, and we will be sitting down. It's just one guy and a microphone. And a big cup of juice. I am going to be sitting down with Chris Berry and Don Witcher this coming Sunday, June 7th at 1 p.m. at the Big Easy Bar, 125 North McCormick Street in Prescott, Arizona. The Chris Berry and Don Witcher electric duo at the Big Easy Bar, June 7th at 1 p.m. Now, they do an every Sunday show there from 2 to 6. So we're going to sit down with them for about an hour before they take the stage, take the mic, take the patio, whatever they're taking, and record a podcast. We're going to hear some great road stories from both Chris and Don. They have both separately played with some of the biggest names in Americana folk and blues music in the country, in the world. They have some great stories. They're going to tell us some of those road stories, tell us the good, the bad, and the ugly of life as road musicians, and talk a little bit about their projects here together. And then they're going to play us a couple of tunes, and we're going to kick back on that beautiful patio and listen to some stories, some tall tales, and some great music. So come on down. That's going to be Sunday, June 7th at 1 p.m. at the Big Easy Bar with Chris Berry and Don Witcher, the Chris Berry and Don Witcher electric duo. So come on out. We're going to have some special little giveaways for any of you that want to come out and join us. I've been in contact with a couple of our past guests and a couple of the future ones. Some of the musicians who are donating some of their CDs that we can hand out to our guests and our listeners that show up. I got to thank the group that came out last week to Sky Daddy Conwell's recording at Gabby's Grill in Prescott Valley. We had a ball. We sat down with Sky for about an hour or so. He told some tales, played some songs, and we had a dozen or so people out there sitting back with us enjoying the food and the drink that Jim Cabral and Kelly, his wife Kelly, put out at Gabby's Grill in Prescott Valley. And that's what we want to do with the Mile High Show, is we want to have a good time while we record. Gives me a chance to get out of the house, bring my family along. They come with me quite a bit when we record. And just enjoy some of the local artists, musicians, artists, singers, actors, the comedians, even a couple of politicians or two, even though I'm make no secret about it. I hate politics. It drives me nuts. I really have no interest in it, but I do enjoy a good story. And if you're looking for some tall tales, hey, who better to ask than a politician? But I enjoy talking with about anybody. Anybody who has a good story to tell, anybody with an interesting history or just some odd, weird people, steer them my way. I'll plug in a couple of mics and get a big old glass of iced tea and maybe something to eat and sit down and talk with these folks and hear their stories. I am always interested in a good yarn. And by way of my photography and my writing, I've always tried to tell a good story. I've always liked to the interview process was always funner than the actual writing process because I got to hear good stories. Now here I get to do the same thing. I plug in the recorder and I know I don't have to write it out in the end. It's just listening to the stories, asking some questions, having a good time, and in most cases, listening to some great, great music. So again, if you know of anybody who you think would be a good fit for the Mile High Show and a good interview for me, steer them my way. Mile High, that's MileHi show at gmail.com, or send them over to the Mile High Show online, and the web address is MileHigh, H-I-G-H, show.com, MileHighShow.com, or MileHigh, H-I, show at gmail.com. That's my email. And you can always find us on Facebook under Mile High Show and contact us that way. We try and put a good calendar together promoting all the local open mics and live shows for our musician friends out there. And again, look on our Facebook page, Twitter feed, and Instagram. All those links are available at milehighshow.com. We promote all of our recording sessions on there. And again, they're all open to the public. Now, even though I'm recording this right now at home, if anybody would have showed up, I would have let them in. I don't care. They could have came in and sat in my garage and listen to me talk. Now, that being said, I am in my garage because I talk loud and it's late. It's already almost midnight on Monday, June 1st, and my family's in the house trying to sleep. So I'm out here in the garage in my little office in the garage, the Mile High Show headquarters. And I got my headphones on. I got my microphone plugged into my recorder, and I wanted to close my little monologue out today with a little music. And you may not know this. No, very few people do. This is because it's so long ago. It's not a big secret, but I'm not a musician. I love music. I love watching live music. I love talking to musicians. There's nothing like sitting in a small club, a restaurant, a cafe, a bar, maybe 10, 15, 20 people there tops, and listening to some great music being belted out by somebody. Now, I've been to big stadium shows. I used to do that fairly regular in my employment, photographing stadium arena shows, some very big names over the years. And that's fun. That's a lot of fun, but you know, it's kind of impersonal. You know, it's huge. It's crowds, it's noise. It can be fun. It can be exciting. Some of the best shows I've seen Clapton a few different times, Springsteen a few different times, big arenas. I've been to festival shows, and it's fun. It's definitely an experience, but it's not really a musical experience. At least it's not for me. A musical experience for me is a small little room like Hooligans in Prescott's like that. The Cork and Cuisine, the restaurant in Prescott Valley, has just a little corner tucked away where Eric Cook and his wife run the restaurant there, and they have live music there. Little hole in the walls where the point in Prescott is beautiful, but it's small, it's intimate. You're just feet away from the artist playing. That to me is a great musical experience. Now, having said that, I wish I could play a musical instrument. I've talked about it a couple of times with different guests on the podcast that when I was in second grade, I believe it was second or third grade, that was the first time in my elementary school. Now I gotta wet my whistle here. Ice cold beverage. Second or third grade, that was the first time in my elementary school that you were allowed to take a musical instrument. That was it. That's when you could, when you can sign up for the little beginner's band. And for some reason, and I don't know why, for some reason, I wanted to play the saxophone. I really, really wanted to. And I went home and I told my mom, I says, Mom, this, you know, seven, eight years old. Mom, I want to play saxophone. Said, no, you don't have time. You don't know. You can't, we don't have the money to rent one, blah, blah, blah. Every day for a week, Mom, please let me play saxophone. Please, I'll practice every day. Please let me play saxophone, please. And I wore her and my dad down. And finally, they said, okay, go. Here, they signed the permission slip. Go, tell them you want to play saxophone. So I go to school the next morning, tell my teacher, I'm ready to play. She goes, great, but most of the instruments are gone. I said, it doesn't matter. All I want to play is a saxophone. She checked with the music teacher, no saxophone, no guitar, no flute, no trumpet, no nothing. The only instrument left was the violin. So I said, no, sorry. So I go, you know, after school, I go home. My dad, where's your saxophone? They were out of saxophones. Well, what did you get? All they had left was the violin. I said, all right, go back and get one. But Dad, I don't want to play the violin. Well, you begged to play an instrument. We finally, you kept begging and asking and asking and asking. We said, yeah, so you're going to play an instrument. I said, Dad, I don't play the violin. What do I play the violin for? I don't like the violin. I don't want to play. He says, look, you begged us all week to play an instrument. You're going to play an instrument. So the next morning, I take my permission slip and go pick up my violin. I hated that violin. I was horrible at the violin. I was terrible. I practiced. Yeah, a little bit I practiced. And I just, I hated it. I hated it. The other kids were making fun of me. I remember one of my brother's friends, he was, you know, 6 years older, Tony Montoya, pulled me aside and just, he was calling me Jack Benny and making fun of me and it drove me nuts. I didn't want to play. A month goes by. Maybe 2 months, I don't know. It felt like 10 years. But a few weeks, maybe a month or two go by. And we're getting ready for our first concert as, second, third grade musicians. And I was horrible. Everybody else was scratching out something that sounded like music, something that was at least a tune. I couldn't. I didn't know how to read the music. I hated it. I didn't practice. All right, I admit it. But I hated it. And I was terrible. The other kids in school would make fun of me because I couldn't play. And then the kids outside of school made fun of me because they thought I was playing. So anyway, it's a couple of days before the concert. And my dad, who worked nights, he worked a swing shift for, I don't know, 30-some years. Caterpillar Tractor, go Cat. Cat Diesel Power. He usually would be sleeping on his days off, like through the weekend, because he worked nights, and then he used to play bridge tournaments and other things at night. So he was usually up late. He was a night owl. I think that's where I get it from. Anyway, so it's a weekend, just a few days before our winter concert at school. And he tells me, he goes, go get your violin. You got to practice. I'm like, oh, no, I don't want to practice. He sits on the couch. He goes, go get your violin. You have to practice. And I could tell he was ready to zonk out. He was so tired. So I went down the hallway, got my violin case, my music stand, my sheet music that looked like Chinese to me. I didn't know how to read it. And I was going really slow, hoping he would fall asleep on the couch before I actually had to start practicing. But he didn't. He stayed awake. And he sitting there staring at me while I set up my music stand, put this unreadable music and sheets in front of me, and I pop open the violin case and I rosin up my bow and I pretended I knew what I was doing, tuning the violin, and tucked that sucker under my chin and started practicing. And quite frankly, I thought I sounded okay. This was the best I'd ever practiced. That lasted about 2 minutes, and he looked at me, and he goes, is that how you play? And I said, yeah. And he goes, forget it, pack it up, you don't have to play anymore. I was that bad that he listened for 2 minutes and decided violin was not for me. Anywho, the gist of that story is, in the past few months, as I have been spending more and more time with some of the greatest musicians of our area, our state, fair to say our country, there are some great musicians here in the Prescott Valley and Chino area. I've been able to talk with them a little bit. I have been able to watch them intently. And I think I'm ready to take the plunge. I've been practicing a little bit on this guitar. I originally bought this guitar, I'm not joking, for 75 cents at a Goodwill thrift store in California. And I bought it about 15 years ago. No, I take that back. I bought it about 25 years ago, because it was about 3 or 4 or 5 years before I got married. Maybe 24 years ago, I bought this for like 75 cents at a Goodwill store in Hayward, California. And I bought it as a prop for my photo studio, and I had it hanging on the wall, and I just thought it looked kind of cool, this old acoustic guitar. And at the time, my roommate played. He was a very good guitar player, and he had several guitars laying around, but I wanted this one just more of a prop and something we can have kids pose with in the studio and stuff. But he strung it up for me, and he tuned it, and he would play great, and I would not play great. But like I said, the last few months I have been spending a lot of time with some of our great local musicians, and I think I'm ready to play a little bit. So here, hang tight, and I'm gonna get my guitar here. Let me get this mic down just a little bit. There we go. And I'm going to play a little tune. Oh, wait, that's not tuned in. Oh, it's way out of whack. Here we go. Hold on. Hold on there. My dog has fleas. All right, here we go. I think I'm ready. right, here we go. You ready? Yeah. Woo. Boy, that was a lot of fun. Woo. I'm tuckered out there. Well, that's the show. That's me yakking in my garage. I hope I didn't bore you too much. And I'm going to keep practicing. I'm going to get this guitar stuff down and maybe jump on the stage one of these days playing some good music. With some good musicians. Don't forget, June 7th, 1 p.m. over at the Big Easy Bar and Grill. Or no, I don't think they have a grill. The Big Easy Bar. June 7th, 1 p.m., Chris Berry, Don Witcher, Electric Duo, the Big Easy Bar, 1 p.m., June 7th. Show up. It'll be a lot of fun. Thanks for tuning in. People say I sit and try, but when it comes to being Taylor, it's just me, myself, and I.